All right, we are back for the second hour of the Thursday night Pat Walsh show. Always delightful to be with you, and thank you for the great calls here in the first hour. Hey, we keep on doing that. We keep doing that. You want to call in, keep it up. And the Tap and Talks were great as well on our free iHeart app, where you can stream us live everywhere. But in the hour, the Sewage Kids also. Is it an alien probe? How about a new system to for waste disposal? We'll talk about that. Animal stories and more. So, 916-921-1530, 800-834-1530. One programming note. We'll be doing our annual baseball prediction show next Wednesday, where we bring folks in, our friends in, and we will predict the season of baseball, which is getting ready to start. One note on that. Don't tune out. I promise. I promise you'll like it. If I may. It was incredible to watch. Maybe you did not watch or pay attention to the World Baseball Classic. Just real quick. We won't talk sports a long time. I want your eyes to glaze over. Kendall says, anytime I talk sports, her eyes begin to glaze. But this was super exciting. In a nutshell, in case you missed it, so many people were watching this, though. It was Japan against the United States in the finals of the World Baseball Classic. Japan, who I think is a two-time winner, and the Team USA, which is the defending champion, right? Weeks of exciting international baseball. And it came down to an incredible matchup. It's been talked about for a couple days now, but I hadn't had a chance to talk about. Came down to this incredible matchup of a pair of teammates here in the big leagues on the Angels teammates. Shohei Ohtani versus Mike Trout. This great and great matchup. Shohei Ohtani, one of the most dynamic players, versatile, amazing players to come along in since Babe Ruth. And Mike Trout, who is considered by many to be the best player in baseball, right? So it's the final game, 2023 World Baseball Classic, and it's down to Ohtani for Japan, Mike Trout for the United States. Long story short, Ohtani strikes out his longtime Los Angeles Angels teammate in the night to close out the 3-2 victory for Japan, giving Japan their third WC title, ends Team USA's quest for a repeat crown. Here's the way that sounded.
USA's captain versus Japan's captain.
3-2 from Ohtani. He throws. Trout strikes out swinging.
Ohtani and Japan celebrate a World Baseball Classic championship.
So congratulations to Japan for winning that incredible game, and it's just an awesome matchup. But I just thought, even if you're not a baseball fan, and Kendall, she's actually forming into becoming an Oakland A's fan. We haven't discussed that, but we will on our prediction show. I've been kept hiding that a little bit. But I thought even someone who's not into sports, not even into baseball, whatever, might be able to appreciate the call. It was very exciting. Japan, for instance, against Mexico, to find out who goes to the final. Here's the great call, the Japanese call. I love it. I don't know what they're saying, but boy, they sound excited, don't they? They sound very, very excited. Congratulations to Japan for winning that terrific game. 916-921-1530, 800-834-1530. 15:30. I do look forward to our baseball prediction game each and every year. Some news today or yesterday, really, in case you missed this. Incredible work by the FDNY as they released a recording of a 911 call that details how five kids ended up in a storm drain on Staten Island. In Staten Island, these five boys, ages 11 to 12, crawling into the storm drain. This was about 6 p.m. Got lost, and they got lost in the tunnel. In the tunnel system. How terrifying would that be? So these boys ended up traveling about a quarter of a mile from where they entered, and they got disoriented, lost their way. And one of them did have a cell phone, which provided the only light, as you'll hear here in this report. Dispatchers asked the kids questions to figure out their location.
Call for help, guys. They hear you. Call for help.
Down there were children trapped with no way out. What started out as child's play turned into terrifying moments and a race against time.
They crawled in there, and they were in there crawling for at least 15 minutes, and they became disoriented.
Five boys, ages 11 and 12, called 911 after getting lost. Firefighters had to figure out where they were. The boys had no idea.
What's the address of Staten Island?
We don't know.
You don't know?
Oh, yeah, we're stuck in the sewers.
You're stuck where?
In the sewers.
It happened about 6 Tuesday evening. The boys entered the storm drain in Clove Lakes Park. It was dark inside and space was limited. The boys were lost for about an hour. It took coordination, specific equipment, meter devices, a rope, and the skills of a few firefighters to find them.
I crawled in. They met me halfway.
The boys had traveled about a quarter of a mile from where they entered.
They were crawling on their knees for over an hour, or about an hour. So his knees were hurting, and it was dark down there. They had one cell phone light.
Eventually, they were found and pulled out to safety here near the Staten Island Zoo.
They were very nervous. They were in this tube for maybe an hour, and they were more relieved.
This father always walks the park with his son and believes more should be done to safeguard children and keep them out of the storm drain.
Kids don't realize the dangers. They see an open storm drain, they think they're playing, they crawl in, and before you know it, they're stuck. But luckily they had a cell phone, so the fire department was able to get them out.
Fox 391, we have all five children removed from the sewer.
Yeah, that report from PIX 11, all of the kids, along with one firefighter, transported to the hospital, to the medical center. They're all going to be okay. Kevin Reyes, who was 12 years old, was one of the boys rescued from the storm drain, said that the boys had been friends since they were little, had gone exploring in that area before. This time, though, a friend went in, got stuck. Kevin said he was the first to try to get the friend out. Three other boys followed. Then all of them found themselves in the harrowing situation, which I can't even imagine. You're crawling on your knees in a dark sewer system, tunnel system. Well, all's well that ends well. Glad they made it out safe. More to come, including could be an alien probe. Also, something from the Oddity Mall and animal stories straight ahead. Pat Walsh Show.
I team frequently. Sometimes they come out funny.
The late Rick Ocasek's birthday. Lost him in 2019. Rick, born on this date, the 23rd of March, 1944. Hope you're doing well on a Thursday evening. Meanwhile, animals running amok A cow's life will be spared after breaking free at a slaughterhouse and running loose through the streets of Brooklyn on Tuesday. Four-month-old cow being delivered from a truck to the Saba Live Poultry Slaughterhouse. Oh, poor baby. Good for you. Escape began running around the streets, making a getaway. Video capturing the incident, showing the calf evading people in the streets. They tried to round her up. The calf eventually recaptured after a few minutes on the run. You got to let it go. Once it makes the escape, sorry, it's escaped. You can't. I'm not eating that steak. It escaped once. There you go. Yeah, babe, you tell him. Get out of my way. Calf transported back to the farm she came from in Lancaster, PA. And then they asked Mike Storr, is the founder of Skylands Animal Sanctuary in New Jersey, asked the owners of the calf to let her live out her life at Skylands Animal Sanctuary. But it took some convincing. But they agreed. Again, you made your escape, baby. It's yours. You're all free. They immediately offered the calf a lifelong home. And Skylands Animal Sanctuary cares for more than 400 animals who were all rescued from slaughterhouses, live markets, and instances of abuse, according to the website. Good for them. Good for that cow, for that little calf to get out of there, make her way out and to freedom. Meanwhile, another animal stories today, a piglet on the loose for multiple days in New Hampshire, a New Hampshire town. Captured by a local animal lover. They're running amok is what's happening. What is happening? Thank you. The rescue was caught on video. Tori Gamachi said he heard an 8-week-old pet pig, Simon. Hi, Simon. This is Simon there. Had been on the loose since Sunday, so went out Wednesday to the area of Goffstown where the swine was last sighted. Gamachi said she spent about 2 hours working to gain the piglet's trust. Before the animal, okay, I'm all right, I'm starting to trust you. Yeah, all right, you seem pretty cool to me. All right. She got close enough to the animal so she could grab hold. I trusted you! Grab it on me. Simon, in good news, was reunited with his pig family. Thank you, Simon. You can tell how happy he was. Other animal news of the day. You may have missed these stories, and I like to provide the stories that slip through the cracks. An escaped miniature horse leads police on a 2-hour chase in Alabama. Spotted trotting loose in Alabama, led police on a 2-hour chase. Way to go, mini horse! Before being safely corralled. The Tuscaloosa PD said that the small... A little horse was spotted in the Alberta section. Unfortunately, they did catch and sent it to the slaughterhouse. No, I'm teasing. They didn't do that. Oh, little guy. That sounds like a big old dude there. He's extremely unwilling to go with the officers at first. Is he not at all interested in pizza and crust or peppermints? Well, who would be? Horse led officers in a low-speed foot pursuit for about 2 hours before they managed to capture it. It's a slow foot pursuit. For like 2 hours, eventually allowed himself to be caught, was happy to get pets and pose for selfies, according to the police. Smile, say cheese. Apparently jokingly posted a mugshot of the mini horse, which they dubbed, I don't know, Guinevere or something, I don't know. Oh, no, I don't even know how to say that. I don't know. They named it, though. This little horse taking off. Hey, you stop. That's pretty good. I love it. It's actual audio from that. I love these animal stories.
A horse-drawn cart of scrap drew up behind a motorcyclist at a railroad crossing gate, which was down to allow a train to pass. The horse proceeded to drool on the cyclist. Here's some biker a little time. Sitting there on his big Harley, minding his own business, waiting for this train to go by. Horse pulls up, starts drooling. So he got mad, it says here. Gave the horse his best elbow shot right to the horse's face. Well, but in the process, when he lifted up his arm to give this horse an elbow shot, he let go of his clutch. And his motorcycle lurched forward, little Tommy, into the car in front of him. Meanwhile, the horse, who has just been punched in the face, rears up, dumps the load of scrap onto the car behind, which rolled backwards under the weight and rammed the front of yet another car on the line. Now, seeing this chain reaction, a passing dog walker tied his terrier to the railroad gate and went to help out. But the train had passed, and the gate went up, pulling the dog 20 feet in the air. By his neck, see? The dog's owner shouted to another pedestrian to lower the gate, which came down on and damaged the roof of a passing Mercedes Benz.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how the, it doesn't say how the dog is. I suppose it would depend on which side of the gate he was tied to.
Uncle Aaron, little Tom. And finally, float-a-poo waste disposal system. Uses helium to float dog poo away forever. That's right. There's one big problem that dog owners have. It's picking up and getting rid of their dog's, you know what? Waste. What are you supposed to do with it? Bend down, pick it up?
That reminds me of that movie Envy. Have you seen that one?
No.
With Jack Black and the Vaporize?
No. You just put it in a little canister in his little bag, and it floats somewhere that you never see it again. It's the doggy disposal system. More about that straight ahead. Pat Walsh Show. Float-a-poo. Huh? Your dog waste disposal system using helium to float your dog's dog stuff away forever. This from the Oddity Mall. You might want to check into. For the person who has everything, if you're looking to start shopping early, get ideas for Christmas this year, there you go. If there's one big problem that dog owners have, it's that darn picking up their little messes and what to do with it. All of that has now changed with Float-A-Poo Dog Waste Disposal System. I should do the late night infomercial for these. The Float-A-Poo is a unique dog waste. I love this. Disposal system. You use a dog stuff bag and a helium canister that allows you to float your dog's stuff into the sky and never be seen again, except for the person who's mowing his lawn that it descends upon. Here's what they're telling you. You can watch your dog's stuff there go up and into the ether in a beautiful, enchanting, and satisfying experience. It is a beautiful and enchanting experience for both you and your dog. To experience every few hours. That is pretty special. 916-921-1530. Anyone have one of these? 800-834-1530. I'd love to hear from you. Here's Mike the landscaper joining us. Hello, landscaper.
You are you're killing me. Damn, I love your show. I'm trying to be focused. I don't know how you do it. I couldn't do that.
Well,
oh my goodness!
I just thought it was the greatest gift idea.
I know you bought me three, and I still haven't used them. I know.
Tell me that would be fun. You could just go out to the receptacle and toss it out there, but what's more fun? Tell me, be honest.
Anything with dog poop is hilarious, right? Now, come on, let's go. Now, that stuff spraying all over the place, the fecal matter is going in your nostrils, your mouth. Oh, it's got to be ugly.
Yeah, yeah. But it's not your problem anymore because it's in someone else's, wherever it lands, it's their problem.
Right, right. Pat, are you doing animal stories again? A mini horse?
Pat, Gavin's screwing up the state, and you're talking about mini horses, Pat. Yes.
Wait a minute. 2 hours the cops chased him, a mini horse? Come on, Pat. Where do you find these stories?
I know. On a slow pursuit. What were they doing, just walking behind the horse for 2 hours? What are you doing here? You got to be kidding me, man. Isn't that incredible?
You give me the visual. You're going on. You're doing all the stories. I go, wow, this is really cool. And you go, next. A mini horse chased by cops for 2 hours. I'm like, oh, no, wait, I got a call.
Yes.
I got a call.
Yeah, because you don't hear that every day.
Oh, no, you don't. It's like, and you're like, yeah, I like to find the stories that fall through the cracks. Well, yeah, I haven't heard that one today on the news.
Right. No, right, right. No, because they fill it with all the same old stuff every single day, the same rhetoric. So I like to pick up with the stuff that no one else talks about, landscaper.
I love your show. And it was the greatest one is the little captain escapes, and now he's not a steak for dinner or hamburger.
Yeah.
He's free. He's free. That's so great.
Doesn't that give you it's a feel-good story, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You know, it's like, I'll get a hamburger for some other cow. That's all right.
Right. We don't care about that other cow. But that one.
That's Burger Chef.
That's right. Yeah. That'll be great, man. We ought to meet over there at Scott's Burger Shack someday there, landscaper. We'll have one of the Fat Boy combos, all right?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, tell them Pat sent you, because I'm telling you, that food is amazing. Everything over there is great.
What sure is, buddy. Glad you enjoyed it. Hey, landscaper, it's always a pleasure. Thank you, man. Nice talking
to you. Love you, brother.
Love you too, brother. Thank you so much. Kendall sent me this discussion today. I was going to have to ask her who it is. It was like one of the most inane discussions I've ever heard in my life. And I looked everywhere. I don't know who this is, Kendall, who is speaking here. It's two women having this discussion. And I don't even know if Kendall knows who this is. So if I play it, it's just we don't know who it is. But still, that's not necessarily the point. Before, if Kendall does tell me who this is, I don't even want to know just yet. I'll play it for you. But here's a great discussion coming anytime, but especially coming off the pandemic and all that. But here you go. Here's a great discussion.
I made the conscious decision to stop washing my hands. I think when I was in college.
Was it college for you?
I don't know. That's when I remember it, because one of my good friends from college also doesn't wash her hands.
I'm already just can't take it. Do you know who this is, Kendall? You don't know who this is? You just saw it and sent it to me just because of the discussion?
What story? Yeah, I don't even remember this.
Yeah, I don't. We don't know who it is. So we'll just soak it up, the discussion. This is some people on television or a podcast or something. Maybe someone else knows who this is. I search for credit. Really doesn't even matter. It's just all about the discussion.
I made the conscious decision to stop washing my hands. I think when I was in college. Was it college for you? I don't know. That's when I remember it, because one of my good friends from college also doesn't wash her hands. And it was like how we had that bonding experience.
Oh, it's a great bonding experience, isn't it? You don't wash your hands.
One day I was like, I'm just not going to wash.
I think I hear our weather guy in the background there. I hear the weather dude in the background and Dana Hess.
To actually wash. It doesn't do anything to actually wash them.
I do wash if I go.
It doesn't do anything to actually wash your hands.
To actually wash. It doesn't do anything to actually wash them.
I do wash if I go number two.
They didn't used to wash them back.
What? Jeez. Does anyone really need to know this?
In like the back, way back in the day when they didn't have, and you would go to the bathroom out in the outhouse, nobody washed their hands then, and there was less diseases.
Right. Way back in the day when you go to concerts and stuff, and you go to the outhouses, and nobody washed their hands yet, and then there was less diseases. I'm sorry, what was that again? One more time.
Back way back in the day when they didn't have, and you would go to the bathroom out in the outhouse, nobody washed their hands then, and there was less diseases.
Right. I sometimes, like, when my roommates home, I'll have to, like, turn the water on, because I'm like, I don't want them to think I'm, like, disgusting.
I'll turn the water on and, like, take a text break.
No,
and
be literally,
like,
I'm like,
you just want to gouge your ears out right about now listening to this.
Uh-huh. When you're at work and someone that you know goes into the stall, you're like, well, I guess I'll fake wash my hands now.
We're always in the bathroom with Kate, and I'm always like,
we also don't shower.
Oh, my God. Someone's in the stall, so they fake wash their hands. Because it's fake washing your hands is much easier. It makes way more sense than actually, you know, washing your hands.
I don't recall the story at all, but that's interesting.
And they don't shower.
I finally got so sick and tired of this dang dispenser, the soap dispenser down the hallway that takes 10 minutes to dispense any soap in our bathrooms. So I brought in my own soap the other day.
You did?
Yes. Because we're in an industry where we don't have 5 minutes to wait for the soap to come out
right.
of the dispenser.
Right.
And I like to wash my hands. And so finally I'm just like, you know what? I brought in my own soap.
You gotta have soap.
Yes.
Do you use the soap to fake wash your hands?
I use the soap to really wash my hands.
Like, man, I don't know who that was. But
yeah.
That is just...
It looks like it's from Mean Girl Podcast. But I don't know who that is or what story that is.
Yeah,
I don't think I sent that to you.
I don't know. Someone did.
Somebody. It looks like it came from Instagram.
Really?
Yeah. Somebody must have sent it to you from that.
Yeah. Well, I would promote the show for anyone else wants to hear like an hour more of that discussion. But I really don't know where it came from. So good luck finding that out where that came from. Maybe it's Mean Girls. I don't have any idea. Anyhow, we're going to beat George Norrie to the punch yet again when we come back. I ask the question, is it, my friends, an alien probe? We'll probe that question straight ahead right here on the Pat Walsh Show. Show nights on iHeartRadio.
Tell me something good.
Chaka Khan is 70 today. Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan. There she is with Rufus. What a great name for a dog. That's like an old school dog name. I get a dog again. I might name him Rufus. Born on this date, 1953, the great Chaka Khan. Of course, don't forget, after this show, George Norrie. He'll talk about aliens and all the stuff, ghosts and Bigfoot and everything that George loves to talk about. That's his shtick. That's what he does. It's his niche. I want to beat him to this. Harvard physicist is racing to prove that this meteorite is an alien probe. The world's top alien hunter is about to embark on his most ambitious and potentially historic history-making mission. Harvard physicist Avi Loeb is organizing a $1.5 million expedition to New Guinea to search for fragments of a very strange meteorite that impacted just off the coast of the Pacific nation in 2014, saying that there is compelling evidence that the half-meter-wide meteorite called, and I love the name, it's a very catchy name, CNEOS-1 2014-0108 traveled from outside our solar system, and that it is made of extremely hard rock or metal, a material that is hard and tough enough to prove the meteorite isn't a meteorite at all. And no, maybe, just maybe, it's an alien probe, is what they're saying. alien probe. The aliens always have probes, don't they? Always probing. That's what they're up to. Probing. Hey, Meebzorp, we need to probe you. From Tulare. No, I'm sorry. We must probe you. It's a long shot effort after years of work Loeb and his team have, with a big assist from the U.S. military, narrowed down CNEOS-1, 2014-0108's likely impact zone, to a square kilometer of ocean floor, nearly 2 kilometers underwater. But the fragments themselves, probably just a few millimeters in size, they say. Worse than looking for a needle in a haystack. What are you searching for? They say it's worth the risk. Any fragments the team recovers could turn out to be technological, that is, clearly manufactured, and thus strong evidence of the existence of aliens. Or maybe they're not artificial, he says, but are made of some super strong material that we've never observed until now. Until now. A rare metal forged in the hearts of neutron stars, for example. That was my theory. But they caught on to my theory, too. I thought maybe he was probably born out of a metal forged from neutron stars. In any event, we'll learn something new, Loeb said. So there you go. George Norrie will have more, I'm sure, coming up straight ahead. George Norrie right after this show. The plan, according to Loeb, is to deploy a variety of custom sand sifters, some with magnets, others with huge sieves, and methodically search, like a big old sifter,